been moving all around the Taipei area.
Oh, this always feels good.
It's 5:30 in the afternoon here in Kathmandu, Nepal.
Okay, just a few hundred steps to go, and I'm at the top of the platform here of Swayam Bhunath, the monkey temple.
I was drinking a mixture of beer, a rice wine, and I am really feeling it now.
I am up at 3:30 in the morning. To go to a tuna auction.
I am here in Mumbai, India.
And I'm here in Tokyo, Japan for Sakura, the cherry blossoms.
It's 7:45 in the morning here in Phnom Penh, and I'm just going to try to cross the street. I'm going to try on a crosswalk.
It's 6:15 in the morning, and I think I'm one of the only people in Ta Prohm. This is Tomb Raider Temple.
Hi, I'm John Sabeau, and this is the Far East Travels Podcast. Hey there, it's John Sabeau, Far East Travels Podcast, coming to you from Da Nang, Vietnam. This is the studio edition. I'm off the beach. By the way, I forgot to mention that, you know, I'm totally okay with music being played as long as it's not too overwhelming. But when I was on the Mekhe Beach, or when I have been on Mekhe Beach, the music is kind of loud, as I was describing in the last episode. But not only that, they put it, which I've failed to mention, on these really awful sort of megaphone speakers that are hung on palm trees. But I was down there yesterday filming, and I noticed that they had turned the volume down. So it was kind of nice to have a little bit less volume on the Kenny G down there or whatever they were playing. So that's kind of the update on the music at the beach here. But they also come down strong on these mobile karaoke machines that are people are just kind of going crazy with in Vietnam right now. It's actually a serious problem. Like, it's not just foreigners complaining about it. A lot of Vietnamese are really upset with these mobile karaoke machines that are used in neighborhoods and create quite a noise pollution problem here, and the government's having a hard time dealing with it. So they do have this no mobile karaoke sign down at the beach, but if the police aren't around, people will still kind of scoot their little karaoke down there and sing. And it's usually the worst middle-aged male singers you could ever find anywhere in the world that sing on these karaoke, I swear. Sometimes you still hear him in the neighborhoods here. But if you're ever coming to live in Vietnam, that's one thing you do have to sort of scope out when you're looking for a place to live, is just to make sure that you're in a neighborhood that maybe is not prone to having a lot of karaoke. But I think it's something, I think the government will eventually find a way to deal with this. I know one province in the south has dealt with this, and apparently it's things have improved a lot there. So that's your update on your beach music karaoke, mobile karaoke situation here in Vietnam. But in this episode, I want to talk about the sort of talk or the headlines that have been coming out lately about Southeast Asia, particularly Vietnam, opening up to tourists July 1st. This is not any kind of official announcement, and I'll get into that in this episode. So thank you, as always, for your support. Appreciate all of the wonderful reviews in the iTunes store. If you want to help out and help others discover the Far East Travels podcast, just follow the link in the show notes. It will direct you to the iTunes store, where you make sure you're signed in. You can rate the podcast out of 5 stars, write a review, and you'll help others discover the Far East Travels podcast. So really appreciate that. Also, your support is very much appreciated and needed. As a patron with a monthly pledge is very helpful and helps me to continue to produce these episodes of the podcast and the YouTube channel. Or just a one-off donation is always helpful as well. So I'll leave a couple of links for that in the show notes. And thank you so much for your support, as always. So there was an announcement that was made last week here in Vietnam by the chairman of the Vietnam Tourism Association, Nguyen Hu Tho, who said in a meeting, it's very well worded, Vietnam should prepare to receive tourists by July to help the heavily hit tourism industry recover, as 95% of inbound travel firms have suspended operations. Okay, so this is coming from the chairman of the Vietnam Tourism Association. So what I've seen lately out there, particularly on some YouTube channels, are people saying, like, this is, you know, possibly Vietnam is going to open up, and that this is not any kind of an announcement from the government or any sort of government announcement at all. This is a tourism association basically lobbying the government, trying to put some pressure on them to reopen. And this, if you kind of read between the lines, he's saying that, you know, other countries are going to do it as well. We should be in line here in Vietnam as well. So there is no official announcement that Vietnam is going to open. It's not even speculation. But I think the same kind of thing's happening in Thailand right now with the tourism association there, that they are trying to put pressure on to open up business for the third quarter. So July is the beginning of the third quarter of the calendar fiscal year. And that's really important, especially for big companies to be reporting year on year, year over year from the last quarter, from the beginning of the quarter. So that's why the July 1st, you'll hear that coming up a lot right now. But I think, honestly, realistically, for some countries, I think it'll be, if it's going to open up this year, we're probably looking at October, the fourth quarter of the year. A lot of countries or areas that want to open up to tourism do want to get their population up to herd immunity, which is 70, 80% inoculated with the COVID vaccine of some kind. And we're just not there yet. So we'll get into that. So that's the announcement. The thing that bothers me when I see people making these announcements is they don't really understand where it's coming from, and they kind of announce it like it's kind of like a headline. And it's not really. And what frustrates me is I know, because I've spoken to them, they've messaged me, different people that are trying to get back to specifically Vietnam and Thailand as well, but even more so Vietnam. You know, people that have families here that are separated, and because they are not of Vietnamese citizenship, they're not allowed back into the country. And particularly, there's some men that I've spoken to that have Vietnamese girlfriends or wives here. Some of them have even given birth, so they haven't even been able to see their son or daughter in person yet. So I really feel for people like that when I see these messages coming out that aren't really relayed properly. So that's basically what's happening there. I think you'll hear more that of that date in the next few weeks. Now, it would be great if they could open up. And, you know, on a personal note, I would love to see tourism open up all over the world, especially where I am right now, because it has impacted me in a business-wise severely as well. So, I mean, I'm feeling this just like other people in the business are. And I would love to see this open, but realistically, I don't know if we're going to look at, if we're looking at the third quarter for completely reopening. What I mean is you have a vaccine passport, you've had your vaccine or two doses. If you have a two dose vaccine, you show up at the airport, you get on the plane, you come here, it's to Vietnam or Thailand or wherever, and you show them your visa and your visa letter, or if you need that, your passport and your vaccine passport, and you're in the country and you go to your hotel right away. That I don't think what could happen would be still possibly open to tourists, but with a smaller quarantine window. So possibly maybe expecting you to quarantine for 7 days as opposed to 14 days, which is what Thailand is probably going to do this month. At least that's what it seems with some of the reports that I've seen. So the Thai government has said that they will reduce the quarantine to 7 days for tourists entering the country that have been inoculated and will recognize the vaccine passports at the same time. But local businesses are not convinced that this is going to help. They say tourists will not return unless there's a no quarantine requirement. And I would probably agree with them on that, that unless they're going to open it up to all tourists, like mainstream tourists, having a 7 day stay in a hotel before you start your vacation is only going to be okay for people that are either retired, wealthy, and they have the time to do that. The 7 days is not a big deal for them. But for people that have limited time on vacations, it's probably not going to open up that market yet. So same thing. Members of the tourism industry that operate in Thailand have been organizing an online campaign to push the government to open the country to vaccinated tourists by July 1st. So here you go with this July 1st date again. Same thing in Thailand coming from outside of the government. So it's not an official government statement. So when you see these things, it's probably coming from tourism associations at the moment anyways. So when you see these dates or hear about this stuff, just sort of like take it with a grain of salt is what I would say. I just don't like to see people get their hopes up too high. Thing that I saw that was really kind of interesting, you know, it's talking more about adapting, is this Singapore hotel that's opened up. It's called a Travel Bubble Hotel, and it's operating for business people needing to do face-to-face meetings without quarantining. So basically, they've got this hotel set up. I believe it's right at the airport or near the airport. It's equipped with glass panels that are airtight and a special ultraviolet light to sanitize documents. And this is how some business people are already starting to do business in Singapore. They fly into Singapore, they go to this hotel, they stay there. People come in from Singapore, meet them, do their meetings, whether they're, you know, branch managers or regional managers, or they're doing some kind of negotiating deals or something like that. They show up from Singapore at the hotel, meet the, you know, their business partners there, and they do their meeting and sign documents, and that's how it's done. And the guests are not allowed to enter Singapore, and they must leave through the airport, but they don't have to quarantine. So they still get a chance to do their one-on-one business meetings. And apparently people from France, Germany, Indonesia, and the UAE have already booked stays at this hotel. It's about $285 US a night. And it's completely equipped for this type of business. So I had mentioned, I think I'd mentioned before about Thailand possibly opening up by October 1st in some places like Phuket and Koh Samui if you've got a vaccine and you would not have to quarantine. So this was reported last week at Koh Samui in Thailand would reopen to tourists that are vaccinated by October 1st. But what's happening there right now is they are doing their best to inoculate as many people on the island as they can. So they have herd immunity, at least 70 to 80% of the population inoculated by October 1st. And it's also an island, so it's isolated. So they're able to do this. So that's kind of where I see probably more realistically, if things are going to open up this year in Southeast Asia or East Asia or even South Asia, that you'd be more looking at the fourth quarter there. So I personally feel Thailand and Cambodia in particular are going to be the first countries to open up to regular tourists without quarantine, provided tourists have the proof of vaccination and a vaccine passport. These two countries in particular in Southeast Asia have been hit the hardest due to the revenue percentage of total GDP. So it's tourism dollars are a fifth of the GDP of the Thai economy. And it's pretty much similar with Cambodia as well. You may see Bali open up because Bali, of course, I mean, it's completely driven by tourism. And it's quite possible that they will maybe do something like the Koh Samui or Phuket model. So I would look at Bali as well as a possible destination for the fourth quarter if you've been vaccinated. Now, because I've been to Nepal many, many times, I have close ties in Nepal. I always look and see what's going on there. They have been open to tourism for a little while now, provided that you have a negative COVID test that you can provide them when you enter Nepal that you've had within 72 hours. And then you still have a week-long quarantine that you'd have to do in Kathmandu upon arriving. But there's been some issues with people not being able to get on flights because it's been kind of a little bit wishy-washy as far as the visa goes. Like, you know, it's really important, I think, if you're going to do a Nepal trip before the fourth quarter, that you make sure that you have some kind of a letter from an embassy that says that, you know, you are going to be let into the country. Otherwise, you could be refused to get on the plane. So what's interesting right now is that we're coming into the climbing season for Everest, and Nepal has approximately 300 mountaineers with permits to climb Mount Everest this season, which I think they should be showing up any time now if they're not already there, because they usually need to be there about 6 weeks before peak time, which is usually about the middle of May. And again, climbers, they don't have to be vaccinated, but they have to have a negative COVID test prior to 72 hours before arrival. And they must undergo a 7-day quarantine. Currently, Nepal is undergoing a nationwide vaccination program. It's very interesting to see how they're doing this, because there's so many villages that are in remote locations that are very difficult to get to. And they're sending out these medics and medical professionals that, you know, it may in some cases take days to reach a village in order to inoculate people. But they're very adamant about doing that. It seems like they're moving in the right direction with, you know, getting their population vaccinated. That's what's happening in Nepal right now. And that's it for here. I think realistically, I think you could probably start to think about making plans for the fourth quarter. And let's hope that things open up at least by then, if not earlier. Thanks so much for listening to the podcast. You can also connect with me on Facebook, the Far East Travels Facebook page, or Far East Travels podcast page. Instagram, John Sabos Far East Travels on Instagram, and Twitter, Far East_Travels. Thanks so much. When we all start traveling again in the future, I wish you safe travels. Namaste, tashi delay, and peace.